This is LifeMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's Executive Editor, Anil Padmanabhan. So welcome, Anil. The first story we discuss is the politics happening in Tamil Nadu, where both Paneer Selvam and Sasikala are fighting for the Battle of the Thrones, and there seems to be like no end to it. Now even the governor is sort of embroiled in it. So what is your take on it?
For one, it was predictable because the vacuum Jayalalitha has created with her sudden exit from the stage. And it's a government which has barely completed a year. So there are 4 years left. So clearly, there would have been a battle for succession. So we are not surprised by the fight, you know, unveiling at this point of time. But having said that, this is a very interesting fight because there's clearly a politically elected group led by Paneer Selvam and the other side, the politically empowered group because of her proximity to Jayalalitha challenging for the throne. They have now fought to a standstill. And like you rightly said, now the ball is in the governor's court. And I'm curious to see how the governor will react because at this point, there's no sitting CM. So you have to take a call on who you invite and how you invite. And traditionally, we know you are invited on the basis of your strength, number of MLAs. And as you're aware, the MLAs have been bussed into some safe location. So they'll have to be paraded before the governor if he so desires. So this battle is just brewing. I think over the weekend, it'll probably peak. But I don't see the governor hurrying with a decision at this point of time. I think the best analogy for this right now is, I don't know if you recall, there was an old movie called Kissa Kursi Ka on the emergency.
Yeah,
it probably fits this right at this moment.
Yeah, weekend, nothing will happen. We'll have to wait till Monday to see what happens. Right. So shifting states from Tamil Nadu to UP, that goes into the polls. The first phase is tomorrow. What is your analysis of that? Because there are three parties now, or rather three sets of people. What do you make of that?
That's correct. It was originally a four-cornered contest with BJP, Congress, BSP and SP. Following the alliance between SP and Congress, it's become a three-cornered contest. The first phase that is going is Western UP and Royalkhand. Both of these are not necessarily SP's strong areas. But based on the 2014 general election, not the 2012 assembly elections, this is BJP's best area, you know, one of its better areas. East UP is also their strong, their strength. But this is actually their strong point. So it'll be very interesting to see how they do here. Because there are a lot of fissures. There are deep religious fault lines. Remember the riots 2 years back. And that's still very fresh. And then you have BSP, who can never be written off in any election because of this powerful Dalit vote that Mayawati garners around her. So it will be an interesting battle. But from our sense, at this point, BJP holds the edge in the first phase. But this is just the first of the many several phases that are going to happen. So yes, it's a big, big election and all of us are watching very keenly.
Great. So from politics to economy, so RBI also announced rate cuts and they left it unchanged at 6.25%, this time citing inflation. So what is your analysis of that? Because many people were expecting this time that things would change.
See, it's very interesting. The Reserve Bank responds while they have cited inflation. The subtext of that is that they're expecting growth to pick up. So they are concerned that because of bottleneck in capacities, you can end up overheating in the economy. So they are expecting a growth recovery. So the macro story is not so adverse. That they have not cut rates is a different issue. But the point they also made is that they have already cut, you know, about 150 basis point in the past 6 months to a year. And that has not been on past as yet. But they do see, because of the big surge of low-cost deposits following demonetization, a greater urge among banks to on-lend. So they have obviously weighed the cost and benefit. They rightly, I think, are watching inflation at this point of time. And see, the fact is that we still have excess capacities among industries at this point of time. So, and the biggest motivator for growth is coming from the government. through public spending. But we had a decent monsoon last year. The northeast monsoon was not good. So if presume we have a decent or a good super monsoon this year, then rural demand based on two decent monsoons should begin to pick up.
Right.
So this may be a smart call looking ahead. But the interesting thing is that you changed the governor, but you didn't change the RBI stance. So the big question to ask was it the governor's fault or was it the macroeconomic circumstances that dictated the rate cut?
Right. Was it also did it also have something to do with demonetization and, you know, the fact that we don't yet know how it's sort of panning out?
No, with rate cut, there's no cause. But obviously, if they're expecting growth to pick up, then the RBI is factoring in the fact that impact on growth due to demonetization is over.
Right.
And that the economy is limping back.
Mm.
And more than limping back, they think there's a steep recovery underway, which is their bet.
Mm.
So, no, there's no two link, direct causality between the two.
Okay. The other big news is, of course, today Virat Kohli had a fairy tale innings and he hit a double ton against Bangladesh, and it's also his fourth consecutive double ton in the fourth series, and a lot has been written about him. What is your view of Virat Kohli?
Oh, I think this guy is such good news in so many ways.
Mm.
One, he lifts you with this great innings. He lifts you with the passion he brings to the field. He also lifts you with the fact that he represents this biggest demography of India, which is 65% less than 35. So you kind of feel very hopeful for the next generation. Mm. And most importantly, what I really like about him is the discipline with which he approaches the innings. So he's actually, if you've followed his career, the way he has pursued his fitness, the way he has pursued his cricket, the way he's pursued his entire strategy and the desire to win, I think this is a classic role model. And for him to achieve a record, it's like a double whammy for him. So it's, I think, a fantastic news, tremendous cricketer. And I think the best is yet to come.
Right. I also read somewhere that, Don Bradman and Rahul Dravid have done this in three consecutive series, but he's the first one to actually do it in four series. So
I don't know much about Bradman. We weren't around when he was around.
Nor was
but,
I.
but the issue is that with Rahul Dravid and him holding and breaking records is a great thing because both have similar attitudes. Though Rahul Dravid is not so aggressive on the field. He never displays his aggression as Virat Kohli does. But the discipline is common to both. And I think any youth or any young person looking to learn a virtue of a profession, which is discipline is critical, I think Virat Kohli represents that. And Rahul Dravid was a best example in the previous generation. And I'm happy that the captain of the Indian cricket team now exemplifies this metric, which is, I think, critical for anybody to succeed in a professional setting, whether it's cricket, work, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
To succeed professionally, you need to be disciplined.
Yeah. No wonder he's a role model for all the youngsters out there.
Absolutely.
Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.